بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to our show, The Days of Virtue, بإذن الله تعالى. We have with us our special Sheikh, Sheikh Mustafa Mahmoud. السلام عليكم شيخ.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. كيف حالك شيخ؟
الحمد لله, doing really well. جزاك الله خير شيخ.
You look really beautiful.
ما شاء الله شيخ. This is just a reflection of
the only one thing I would want is the secret ingredient that makes you look like that.
ما شاء الله. I think the secret indeed ingredient will be, inshallah ta'ala, you know, told to our viewers today, inshallah ta'ala, through your knowledge and through your wisdom, bi'idhnillah ta'ala.
May Allah accept it from us.
Ameen. Sheikh, in the last episode, we spoke about, you know, what should people do, those who are not going Hajj, what should they do during these last days? And also we spoke about the Hujjaj, how they should prepare for Hajj, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Now, the question that I have for you, Sheikh, is that it's a totally different, you know, angle of looking at it is, why should we learn about Hajj? Many people go for Hajj, they finish their Hajj, they do their, you know, their obligation to Allah Ta'ala, done and dusted, as they say, alhamdulillah, finished, that's something I did, it's in the past. Why should we learn about how to do Hajj? Why should we educate about ourselves about how to do Hajj, the importance of Hajj and things like that?
SubhanAllah, you've touched on a point which has made not only touched the heart, but has made my mind to think and look at things in a very different perspective. And I would start and begin to say, Al-Amru al-Awwal, the first thing which we need to understand is that our religion is based on knowledge. Our religion is sacred. And as we started this series, you notice that we spoke about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who picks and chooses the good days, which He finds them to be even more greater and sacred than any other day.
Mm.
Which means to say that when we say La ilaha illallah, yes, Muhammadun Rasulullah, when we say there is no Lord worthy of worship other than Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is our messenger, these two parts of the Shahada, we need to understand this Shahada divides to two. The moment we abide to Allah, we are telling Allah, whatever you decide, it's upon you.
Mm.
It's not our choice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is our guide. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَاذْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأَحْيَانِ. We translate this verse by saying that we only find a good example in the messenger. But that's not the understanding, the actual understanding of the verse or translation. The translation means, if we find a very good example from the messenger, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind for us is exactly what we need to follow.
Yes.
Imagine this. You want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ لَكَ دِرَايَةً وَلَيْسَ لَكَ عِلْمٌ وَلَيْسَ لَكَ مَنْ يُهْدِيكَ وَلَيْسَ لَكَ مَنْ يُوَجِّهُكَ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. You want to learn about Allah. But you say, of course, I believe in Allah. You don't have anyone to guide you. You don't have any knowledge. You don't have any idea of what you're doing. What happens next? Let me give you a simple example of the importance of learning about Hajj. When I went to Hajj my very last time, subhanAllah. Now, this story is sad, but at the same time, because we were together, we, you know, normally as people live together and brothers and all of that, we like to enjoy and have fun as well. There was a brother. He had very little hair, first of all. So he went for his first Umrah. You know, in Hajj, we have three types of Hajj. Either you go there for Ifrad, which you just do Hajj alone, or you go there for Tamattu', you can do Umrah now and then Hajj later, or Qiran, which you can do a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Now, we went for Tamattu' as a group, mashallah. But a brother, what he did is, he shaved his head. He kept a little bit of hair after the first Umrah. Then before Hajj, he did another Umrah. And he literally got rid of every single hair that he had. And we know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that for a person that literally after completing his manasik, which is going to Arafah and then Muzdalifah, and after that they come back to Mina and they sacrifice of their cattle, when they go for Tawaful Ifada or before Tawaful Ifada, they shave their heads. لِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةً. For every single hair, there is a reward. We ask the brother, what are you going to offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you're completely bold. Imagine that. Because he didn't pay attention and he didn't look at the importance of Hajj, and now he has nothing to offer to Allah. And there was only 2 days.
Yeah. And that's a direct result of lack of education.
Exactly. That's the direct result of lack of education, which means that lack of education could lead you somewhere where you wouldn't even know exactly What am I doing right now?
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, Sheikh. Wallahi, that is so important, Sheikh. You know, and also educating oneself about our sincerity as well. Okay, the emotional aspect of it as well, Sheikh. Okay. I think there should also be a level of where we develop a little bit of emotional intelligence about our sincerity and about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, iqbal ala Allah ta'ala before hajj. I think that should be part of it as well. Isn't that right, Sheikh?
You know, when Allah said in the Quran, inna anzalnahu Quranan arabiyyan la'allakum ta'aqilun, we use the word ta'aqil from the root aqala ya'aqilu, thinking that it's only about the mind.
Yeah.
But the word aql actually is not just about comprehending. It's about tying. You tie a knot as well.
Oh, yes.
So when you tie a knot on aql, what does it mean exactly? You don't just tie a knot on your mind. You tie a knot on your heart. That's how you control your emotions. You understand that the Quran did not just to come to deal with people's minds and teaching them, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Al-lub is not just about the mind, it's about the emotions. If the emotions are intelligent, the mind can easily be controlled. But if the mind has to fight in order to seek that which is right, and the emotions want that which it desires, whether it's right or wrong, without distinguishing between the two, it's quite problematic, actually.
Yes.
So you notice that the first thing when it comes to our intentions, or our emotions, we have to look at our sincerity, how every single part of the pillars of Islam and our entire religion focuses on intention. Go to, for example, the pillar of Salah. فرائض الصلاة ستة عشرة شروطها أربعة مقتفرة تكبيرة الإحرام والقيام لها ونية بها ترام. First thing, it deals with your intention.
Yeah.
If you stand in Salah without niyyah, your Salah is not valid.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
You stand for Salat al-Dhuhr, but you don't put intention. And then you end up praying Salat al-Asr or Maghrib. What happens to your Salah? It's the emotional aspect. You're standing there for what? Your mind has to be connected. That is aql. You look at Hajj. The first thing that you need to follow, your niyyah. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَجٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ أَوْ لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَجٍ. You need to do that when you reach the miqat. If you get there to the miqat and you don't have the intention, what happens? Your entire hajj is invalid. You look at your sawm. You now see that the message in a poetry line, وَنِيَّةٌ تَكْفِي لِمَا تَتَابُعُهُ يَجِبُ إِلَّا إِنَّفَاهُ مَانِعُهُ. Which means that you have to make intention at night and you have to be connected emotionally, sincerely, knowing that I am standing tomorrow for siyam. So if your emotions are not intact and your niyyah is not there, your intention is not fixed and your mind is not focused, khalas.
That means your heart is not present, Sheikh.
Exactly.
And I think that is the real essence of it, isn't it, Sheikh?
Of course,
is that
yes.
The aim is man ata Allah bi qalbin salim. Whoever came to Allah with a sound heart, a
and
heart that is
the
present
verse that,
to
imagine
Allah.
The verse that you just read.
Yeah.
Those are words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he was thrown in the fire, he asked so many du'as. And not only that, even after when he was thrown and he was thrown away by, chased away by his father, expelled, لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. His father told him that, we will stone you to death and make sure that you migrate away from us.
Yes.
The next thing he does is dua upon dua upon dua. And one of them, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِمْ لَيْشْ. Why qalbin salim? Why pure heart? Why was it so important that Ibrahim had to mention about a sincere, focused heart?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he have to talk about that? It's because of all of our entire lifespan and our entire ibadah and worship that we do. It begins with the heart.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Sheikh, so, you know, some people may be watching us today. In the next episode, we're going to speak about what should people who are not doing hajj, what should they do? But in the last 2 minutes that we have left, inshallah ta'ala, we've spoken about why should a person learn about hajj? How should they go about learning hajj, about hajj? But the people who are not doing hajj in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, what should they be learning about? What should they be doing, inshallah ta'ala?
SubhanAllah. Now, as a simple advice, as we are against time at the moment, for the hujjaj, I sincerely advise them. They need to look for the right people to teach them and guide them through. And obviously, when people go to Hajj, they have guides, they have teachers, and literally the umara, the leaders that literally guide them throughout the entire Hajj process.
Yes.
But for the non-Hajjis, for those who are non-pilgrims, what they should be doing, they should be educating themselves in understanding the importance of these beautiful days, how they can live them. How can they be in the position of a pilgrim a person who is a pilgrim, a person who is a hajj.
So you can be, yeah? You can, you can get to that level, inshallah.
That's how just our religion is. Allah wants to be fair enough that each one of those who can participate on a certain ibadah and those who can't, they still be on the same level and enjoy the same fruits.
So Sheikh, from what I understand from you now, yeah, is that if I don't have the money to go hajj, or the health to go hajj, or the youth to go hajj, subhanAllah, I can reach to the level of the person who went hajj, inshaAllah ta'ala, by the permission of Allah ta'ala, if I actually do certain actions and if I do certain things during the 10 days of the hijjah.
Of course you can.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that is what our next episode is going to be about, yes. Inshallah ta'ala, bi'inillah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, mashallah, tabarakallah, it's been a blessed episode. We have learned so much from our Shaykh today, mashallah, tabarakallah, all about how we should prepare for Hajj if we're going to Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. And, you know, me and the Shaykh would make dua for everyone for their Hajj to be accepted and Allahumma for them to have a safe journey for Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. Ameen, ya Rabb. But inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode, we're going to be speaking about those people who are unable to go to Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, and how they should prepare and get ready and get their hearts and their souls and their bodies ready for these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, you've been with us, inshallah ta'ala, your show, the Days of Virtue, bi'inillah ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you in the next episode. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.